Thank you, Matt. That was wonderful. It's all downhill from here, guys. If you could turn, we're going to look at John chapter 14 today. Scott called me yesterday and said, I hate to do this to you, but you preach tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. First, I want to share something. Try to keep myself composed. Had something happen recently. Again, I have to learn this lesson over and over and over again. The things that I see lie to me are senses. I don't know what you have. If you have stuff going on in your life that's heavy. But I was talking to a friend, and the peace of God came over me that I got to thank him for this thing that looks so bad, because the devil's trying to steal my faith. Well, it looks bad. You need to fix something. You need to do something. You need to say something. And the word says, all I need to do is believe. It really takes the pressure off. We have such a great Savior. Anyway, so let's read together. Let us reason together as we read the word. And know that we're hearing from Christ and God Almighty. Take it seriously. I know it's easy to let your minds wander, and I'm not a great speaker, so there's a temptation to say, this fool up here, spitting over English words, screwing them up. But this is the living, breathing, two-edged sword word of God. So give it the attention that it deserves. So let us read this chapter together, and then we'll just go back through it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me go backwards. Again, a reminder. The Grace and Truth 2023 Annual Woman Seminar. The Woman with the Mind of Christ. Led by my mother. Judy Seligman. I can't get up here and not just lose it because the Word of God and what my mom and my dad have done for me in my life. So women, come listen to this wisdom. She has changed the lives of every man in her life through her faith. She has allowed God to work through her, to love, and to see the results of His promises. There's nothing else on this earth that you need more to hear from them from this woman on Thursday nights. You have nothing better to do. I'm telling you that. And it's on the 7th of September. September 7th, 14th, 21, and 28 at 7:30 here at 125 Technology Drive. And pizza for the men? Pizza and wings, Scott said. So let us go back to our verses. Please attend. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? You have seen me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do,
that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So yeah, when Scott called and gave me the assignment, I just happened to read John chapter 14. And so, well, thank you, Lord. We're going to do this one. So let's go through verse by verse. We'll use that loosely. Starts off in John 14:1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And if we go back to chapter 13, this is where Peter, Jesus already said, where I'm going, you can't come. And Peter says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. But Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake, Peter said. And then Jesus asked that question. I hope you've heard him ask you this question when you proudly told God what you were going to do for him. You will lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, Peter, verily, verily, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. So when we look at verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They all heard this. Literally heard Jesus tell Peter, you're going to deny me. And then he tells them quickly, don't be troubled by this. I'm not expecting nothing from you. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So where is he? Colossians 3:1 says that if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. And where are we seated? Where are we? Ephesians 2:6, and raise us up together. Who said Christ? Somebody said that? That's right, Lou. Ephesians 2:6, and raise us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is a twofold prophecy. This is now. Do you believe that you're seated in heaven? This morning I did not. I reacted in my flesh. I forgot where I was seated. That's okay. Do not be troubled, Greg. I believe in you, Son of God. I believe in you, Jesus. And if we truly believe this, we will act like it. I had to repent, and then I acted like where I knew I was seated, because the Word of God tells me that. And I don't fully understand this. How am I seated in heaven right now? But I am, because the Word of God says I am. He has a room prepared for me. He has a room prepared for you. John 14:2. In the Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I like the comparisons. If you look at Philemon 1:22, when Paul's pleading for Onesimus to Philemon, at the end of his letter, he says, but meanwhile, you, Philemon, prepare a guest room for me. For I trust that through your prayers I will be granted to you. Peter's in prison. He said he's so confident in the prayers of another. He says, go prepare a room for me because I'm coming because you're praying for me, Philemon. And in the same way, we have this expectation from Christ. Full confidence that I have a room in his Father's mansion because Christ prays for me. I do not know how I should ought to pray. And just like Paul having faith in another's prayers, we have faith in Christ's promise to us. He would not have told us this if it wasn't true. Lord, because of your faith, I know there's a room in your father's house prepared for me. Because of your prayers for me, I have confidence that I will arrive there. Full confidence of my salvation. I hope everybody in this room has been sitting under Scott and his teachings. I mean, there's not a doubt. If there's something I'm going to be confident in, is that I have a room prepared for me, waiting for me, because Jesus said so, and I believe him. Do you have full confidence? Verses 5 and 6. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where we are going, and how can we know the way? Or where you are going, Lord. We don't know where you are going. And how can we know the way to get there if we don't know where you're going? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way. Salvation's easy. Salvation is an easy thing. It takes nothing but faith. It's given freely by grace. Believe that you are a sinner and you deserve death, and believe that Jesus came and died for your sins, that you might become the righteousness of him, of God in Christ. Now, the way is difficult. It's narrow, and few find it. Matthew 7:13 through 14, this is the way here on earth now. Matthew 7:13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And this gate, it's a cross-sized gate. There's one way to enter in, it's through the cross, to walk in resurrection life here on earth, to walk seated in the heavenlies. There's one gate, and it's the size of a cross, and we have an entire world of lies. That's the gate. That's the narrow way. It says salvation's easy. But if you want to follow Christ, truly be a disciple, a disciplined learner of the Word of God, it's going to cost you everything. Everything that you think is yours, it's going to cost you that. Count the cost. It's worth it. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Bear with me because I got notes written all over the place. I didn't have a computer at the time as I stumbled through this and peddled the Word of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's the way, the narrow gate. And the truth is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. It's this book we have that is God's mind. I heard a testimony recently about a man that searched all the religions. And what brought him to Christ, it was this verse. Because he's looked at Buddhism, atheism, Jewish, Catholic, all these religions. They all had something to say about Jesus. And Jesus said nothing about none of them. He said, I am the way. And that was enough to convince him that all these other faiths have something to say about Jesus. But Jesus said nothing about them. And that was enough to convince him. I thought that was incredible. The life. John 5:26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And I love this verse too, because I try to beat my friends over the head with it. It's been given to me, so I want to give it to my friends. The Word, the Word, the Word. It's Jesus. You have no relationship with God. You lie to yourself. You've been deceived if you don't have the Word. You pray to God. Pray to Jesus. Pray through His Word. Learn who He is so that you may pray. And He may hear you. And if we want to know God, we need to know the Word, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we have Christians. I know I'm guilty of this daily, that I take the Lord's name in vain. I don't read the Word all the time like my life depends on it. This is it. This is eternity. We have such a finite life on this earth. I'm lucky if I'm past the halfway point of my life. Get the Word. You want to have effect in this world. It's not your efforts or your trying. It's the Word of God that resonates inside your soul stream of conscience, that comes to remembrance, that you share with the people in your life, that you live it out and act it out in their lives. And how can I expect to even come to God without the Word? First tells me I can't. These three are one. We have Christians that are starving out there because they go to church once a week and maybe pick up their Bible like they're doing something. And I'm not, hey, if you pick it up once, it's better than not picking it up at all. But we're in perilous times. We need men and women devoted to studying and learning the Word of God, studying and learning who Christ Jesus is. Verses 7 and 8. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. I like this too, though. Peter made a comment. You got Philip asking a question. Thomas asking a question later on. They asked. They said things that needed corrected, but they were speaking with God, and we have to do the same thing. Ask questions. Say the wrong thing to him so he can correct you. But if you're not having the conversations, you can't be corrected. And they made these statements for our benefit. Show us the Father, for it would be sufficient. He didn't have the understanding yet. We have it. We have the completed Word of God. We know these things. And how dare when we read any time I've had the temptation to not associate with every mistake the disciples made. Oh, I wouldn't have. Yeah, you would have. Associate with them. And off the wall topic. You know, you got the David and Goliath. I'm talking about associations. You know, David and Goliath, and we always want to be David, and we're facing our Goliath. I faced my Goliath this morning. No, I'm a terrified Israelite on the sidelines waiting for my king to show up to take his head off. Have you associated with the terrified Israelites? Waiting for an unlikely king out of a major? David existed. The seed came through David. We have Jesus. I'm a terrified Israelite. And I'm grateful for that. He doesn't expect me to take off Goliath's head. He already did it. Associate with the people in the Bible correctly. John 14:9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Can you hear Jesus asking you this honestly? And whatever your life looks like, can you answer him honestly when you're anxious, fearful, and doubting? "I've been with you so long, and you still don't know me in this situation? You have a storm going on? Ye have little faith? Do you not know I control the winds?" And anxious, and do not be deceived. Being anxious, fearful, and doubting a situation like I did this morning, I had to repent. It is sin. Everything not of faith is sin. How many times you repented there? Carl smiled. He gets it. If you're honest with yourself, you should be doing it a lot. Well, at least me. I'll speak for myself. I know Judy only has to do it once or twice a day. But if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not sin. Now, the more I read the Word, the more I realize where I come up short. And I'm grateful for that. Like I said, I'm grateful that I don't have to be David. That I could be a terrified Israelite on the sidelines, waiting for my Savior to show up. And thanks be to Jesus, when we are faithless, He is faithful. Verses 10 and 11. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Can you say your relationship with Jesus? We're going to look at the mediator here a little bit. "But the things that I say up here, I do not say on my own authority." And he who dwells in me does the works. It's the same relationship. We need the mediator to make the connection between the Father and us. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me." The Father did the work in Jesus, and Jesus does the work in us. Verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." I still love thinking about this verse. Greater works than these he will do. It's probably been taught, but I feel like I'm the only one that's been taught this, because I heard it from God himself. So how are you going to do greater works than Jesus? You're going to walk on water? You actually have to do better than that. So you probably have to walk on air. You're going to raise the dead? But Jesus doesn't lie. He says, "You will do greater works than these." And in thinking and meditating on this and asking questions to God when I read, he gives me answers. It's faith. Believing in the works of another. This takes I can't do it, so I believe that Jesus did it for me is a greater work than the works itself. To glorify the Father and the Son. Trusting in the works of Jesus so that the Father may be glorified in him. Galatians 3, 2 and 3. I feel like I get up here and I read do the same message and read the same verses every time. But to me, it is not tedious. For you, it is profitable. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Or are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Do you want to do greater works than these? Believe. I was at a group Thursday night, and the guy said that word, believe. And every time I started talking, I pointed to him and made him say the word, believe. Believe, believe, believe. This is how Jesus can say, you'll do greater works than these. And so often I find myself in the trap of works set by the devil. Got caught this morning, got snared up. I got to do something. The devil tells me that I need to do something to add to the completed work of the cross. And when I say it out loud, it sounds so foolish to me. But that wasn't enough. I got to do something besides believe. Oh, foolish Greg. Especially when I learn these lessons over and over and over and over again. And it's so easy to forget. And it's so important to get that word daily and have that relationship so tight to the Son. Because the temptations are going to continue to come. That me trying to fix myself and the people of my, that I love fails every time. Yeah, do you think these greater works are our best efforts? Because we tried really hard? Absolutely not. What else could greater works be but faith in the completed work of the cross? This is a good example. Matthew 8:8. The centurion whose servant was ill, he sent to Jesus. I can't remember. I didn't have time to really look into it again. But I remember studying a couple of years back that one account says the centurion went himself. The other one says that he sent a servant. Am I right? Does anybody know this? Sent a servant. So in Matthew 8:8 says the centurion actually answered and said, and it's the authority given. So, like I said, I'm sorry I even brought it up, but it's something brought to my remembrance. But Matthew 8:8 is an example of greater works. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. What a lesson we can learn from this centurion. His faith was greater than any that Christ found on earth, right? Jesus said. The centurion believed so strongly that Christ could heal his servant that he had only asked Jesus to speak the word. And why do I battle? Why do we battle again and again with powers and principalities of the evil one, fighting from my flesh instead of having the victory given to us? It's already been done. It is finished. My buddy asked me this morning, what are the three greatest words in the Bible? It is finished. I don't even know what his three were. I hope that's what he meant. Philippians 1:29. And in these situations, the centurion was suffering. The servant that he cared for and loved was hurting. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. John, you and your Bible app? Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him but to suffer for his sake. It has been granted to us. It has been freely given to us, faith and suffering given by God to us so that we can exercise faith for his sake. The suffering is given by God so that his plan for good in our lives can come to pass according to his purpose. And what is that purpose? To avoid suffering? To avoid pain? Absolutely not. So that we may be conformed into the image of his Son. You see how you can thank the Lord for all things and say it genuinely? Sometimes I have to force myself to say it. But then once I say it and I practice it, it becomes real. Okay, Lord, I can't thank you just because I remember what your word tells me. And it's to get us into that suffering is to get us into that narrow, narrow cross-shaped gate where we learn to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross and walk through it. There's no other way to get through that gate in this life. No other way. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the sufferings that our pastor and his wife are going through. It doesn't make sense to me. Not with my earthly reasoning, but with the Spirit it does. Because he's bringing glory into their lives. He is conforming them into the image of his Son, making them so desperate and needy for him, so they will grope and cling to God. The same with each and every one of us when these things happen. This is the purpose. Well, God has a plan for good for you. What, you get a better job? Your car doesn't break down? You don't want me praying for you. You don't. Because I pray with the understanding of God. I don't pray that you get out of that situation. I pray that God enters into it. And if you don't give thanks for all things, you're disobeying God. He tells us to do this. You're rebelling against him by complaining and murmuring. I rebelled this morning. It's a serious word. Sin is rebellion. John 14:13-14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, he says it plainly. Have you ever asked Jesus for something that hasn't happened? He says, but if you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. James tells us, you don't know the word. You're asking amiss. And you can have the best intentions in your prayer, but miss it by a mile. Miss the cross of Christ in the people we love's lives. Best intentions, oh, I just don't want them to be that way anymore. I'm asking amiss. I don't want to suffer anymore. I don't want to suffer loving them anymore. It's your message, ain't it, Mom? You had to learn that with two of us pretty closely. It's not right. Praying that I don't want to suffer. The suffer conforms me into the image of his Son. And I'm praying not to have this in my life. So what are you asking in his name for your flesh? Inventory yourself. Check your prayers. If you are praying. Are you asking it in Jesus' name so that the Father may be glorified in his Son? If you are praying this, he will do it. He will glorify the Father in himself. He cannot not do that with that prayer. That you may spend it on your comfort and your peace in your life. Instead of his comfort and his peace. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. See the huge component here, the word. If you pray according to his word, he will do it. Then you realize you stop praying for details and outcomes. Just start praying for him. Show up, Lord. 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love God? I hope we all say yes and amen. Do you love God? Do you keep his commandments? One, we got one. I like it. I like the confidence. I do. Because you can't say this confidently. Oh, that was last. Never mind. I didn't know where the voice came from. Oh, Lord, forgive us. We are a people of unclean lips, Lord.
You coming back, Les? This wouldn't happen if Scott was. Yeah, it would. It'd be worse. He'd call you names. God tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, Lord, I love you. I believe this in my heart. God says my heart is deceitful above all things. And out of our mouths become blessings and cursings. God's perspective says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So I can say all I want that I love God. You think he receives that because it comes out of my mouth? You think because in my heart of hearts I believe it? No, he says it plainly. If you love me, you will do this. You will show your love for me like I showed my love for the Father, Jesus speaking, by keeping his word and doing what he commands. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And remember, this whole chapter, we're talking about Jesus' death. He's explaining to the disciples what they cannot yet understand. Thanks be to God that we have the completed word, that he may give us this understanding through their learning. Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the word of God, the gospel, the good news. And I love this too. I'm going to be doing a speaking on sin at an event next month. And the good news isn't the good news without sin. You need to know it. You need to know what you are. If you just think God loves you just as you are because you're pretty good, you got eternal damnation coming. After listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and the Father will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit of promise, that he may abide with you forever. Once having received the Holy Spirit, you cannot lose it. I hate the arrogance of not once saved, all saved. I hate it. Because you think you can do something to maintain it? Did you do something to receive it? Oh, foolish ones. It's his job. He keeps us. It's not how hard we hold on to God's hand, but how tightly he holds on to ours. In 1 Peter 1:9 confirms this. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the salvation of your souls. This is the end result, starting first. What is last is first. John 14:17-18. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. 19-20. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. The day of our salvation. Do you know when you accepted Christ? Do you know this unequivocally? That we are in him and he is in the Father? If you know that, you know you can't be taken out of it. No created thing will snatch you out of his hand. We are created beings. If we know it, walk it. Walk it. To what you have attained, walk it. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Again, telling us plainly, he who has his commandments and keeps them, this one loves me. By having and keeping his word, he will reveal himself to us. He will manifest himself to the ones that have and keep his word. And like I said, it's easy to walk, it's easy to walk with God when everything's going good. I doubt myself. I think it was one of those, Spurgeon, said, I fear that all the good times, and this is my own interpretation, but I fear that all the good times in my life
my relationship with Christ can be balanced on a dime. But I know in the hard times, in the trials, that he was carrying me. That comfort's a scary thing. And in this stuff, in keeping his commandments and knowing his commandments, in these I will manifest myself to him. It's a narrow gate. And not many will find it. Can we say that we found it? Ask yourself these questions. Ask Jesus, have I found it? And if not, do what is necessary that I do. You know, there's a don't ask God for patience, all that nonsense. Ask for it. Ask for suffering if need be. I know there's people that come to the grace of God without much suffering. I love that. I love that for them. I didn't go that way. And once you've gone through that narrow gate of the cross, once you realize you've been crucified with Christ, you know your life's never the same. It can't be. You went through the narrow gate. What's that? Sola Scriptura? I think I hear it a lot. I don't know all the theology behind it, but I know it means the Word and the Word alone is your life. That's it. If you've gone through the narrow gate, you will sound like me telling everybody in your life, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Because in it, the Son reveals himself to us. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot. And if we know in chapter 13, Judas had Satan enter him and he was going out to plot for his death on the cross. But it tells us here in parentheses, Judas, the other disciple, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not of the world? And Judas Iscariot, too. The one that would betray Jesus with a kiss. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I handled my situation this morning with truth and no grace. And that I had to repent from, and I have to give grace. Not that we should shy away from the truth. We need to tell people the truth, but it has to be given with grace. But faithful are these wounds that people tell us and call us out in our spiritual walks. Say you're wrong. Even if I don't want to hear it and I'm in my flesh, I'd rather give you the truth and have you upset with me than not give you the truth and be a kiss from the enemy telling you you're right and I feel bad for you. You deserve to feel this way. Those are the kisses of the enemies. How many people have you kissed, given advice that you're betraying them in Christ? John 23:24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. Again, how many times has he got to say it to us? And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. It's very clear. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And he who does not love me does not. And we can't keep something we don't possess. We have to first possess the word of God to keep it. You can't keep something that you don't possess. And you can't possess something that hasn't been given to you. So if you don't go through this order, guess what? You're not loving God the way he says. We you know, in Christianity today, too, we have this terrible doctrine that God's pleased with our emotions. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You will keep my word. He doesn't say, I receive your love when you cry a lot or when your hands go up in the air with a worship song. Not that there's nothing wrong with these things. I experience all of that. But the word of God says, if you love me, you will keep my word. So you show up to church one week, one day a week, and you feel the Spirit, but you don't keep his word the other 6 days, taking his name in vain. He says, don't do that. I've given you my name. You can pray in my name. You can speak to the Father in my name. Don't do it in vain. We're almost wrapping up here. John 21, 15 and 17. So we'll just sum it up. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Do you love me, Simon, son of Judah? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. So let's ask his questions the way Jesus has said. Do you love me? Do you keep my commands? Do you love me? Or do you have my commandments? Do you love me? Do you keep my commandments? Do you love me? Do you keep my word? Do you love God? Do you do these things? He tells us how to express our love for him, plainly. 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Thank God for this, right? This is my prayer this morning. Lord, bring to remembrance. I have no time to prepare for this message. And how can you bring to remembrance what you don't have? And like Scott says, our rate of forgetting is way faster than our rate of remembering. You need to hear this stuff over and over and over and over. And ain't nobody in here a spring chicken. Oh, we got one. We forget quicker than we learn. Old dog, new tricks. Tough. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And we all have these circumstances in life that want to war against this peace that Jesus freely gives us. Gives to all who are willing to receive it, despite the circumstances. The world says, I'll take you out of the circumstance and you can have peace. Jesus says, I did not call you out of it, but I called to give you peace in the circumstances. We're not called to overcome circumstances. We're called to be overcomers in them. The world offers peace by setting up boundaries, walls of protection, by forgiving and not forgetting. The world has to remove the situation for you to have that peace. Jesus says, I'll give it to you in it. Then you don't have to pray for it at the end because you have me. It doesn't matter if it ends or not. 28 and 29, wrapping up here, guys, bear with me. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said, I am going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. 28, Jesus says, the Father is greater than I. Well, how can Jesus be God and yet the Father is greater than him? And this is where we have our mediator. This whole picture is painted in this chapter. Between his relationship with the Father and his relationship with us. The Father can have no fellowship with sin. He is greater than the Son because he can have no fellowship with it. So the Son came to be our mediator as a man. To be the atonement for our sins. To become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming to the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He came and did what we could not do for ourselves, so that we may have the relationship with the Father. And he did everything that the Father commanded of it. And thanks be that he is our mediator, because he did it. When we fall short, it's okay. He paid for our shortcomings. 30 and 31, I will no longer talk much with you, because I have been speaking for 50 minutes. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How did Jesus express his love for the Father? He commanded him, so he did. And he was risen up in glory because of that. So arise, let us go from here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will have my commandments. You will keep them. You will keep my word. If you love me, Jesus says. That's how he expressed his love to the Father, and that's how we express our love to him. So now let us arise and go from here to Sunday morning, taking this word of God with us. John chapter 14, I love that. I've listened to it on audio a very short time, so I'm like, okay, I got to get it over and over in my head. Let us take this with us into this dark and fallen world and be lights, bringing grace and truth with us. So arise, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your spirit that he may dwell in us and teach us these things and bring to remembrance the things that you have taught us when we need them. Lord, help us to show our love to you. Help us to make your word a priority above all other things in life, because only one thing is required. And Mary chose that at your feet, Lord, listening to you. Martha was distracted with many things. And how many temptations do we have, Lord, in this world? Money, family, clothes, so many. But one is required. And if we seek first you and your righteousness, Lord, we know that you will provide and take care of us. So just bless the fellowship. Again, we lift up the Warren family, Lord. Lord, come quickly. Amen.